Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning very much for listening to this great show. I'm really excited, as you can tell, because I screwed up my opening. But with no further ado, let us introduce what I think is one of the great leaders that we have in the field of medical marijuana, making it legal, making it available to all people. We have the famous, the beautiful, the fantastically cool, and I'm going to mispronounce your last name, Sue DeGregorio. How badly did I do?
It's phonetics. It's phonetics.
All right.
DeGregorio.
Oh, there you go. See, I failed miserably. Hopefully she doesn't have drones come and kill me. Anyway, let's cut to the chase. Every day it seems I'm reading yet a new study that says there's more uses than ever before for what we refer to as medical marijuana. What cool things have happened over the last several months?
Well, we've had a lot of cool things happen, but a lot of uncool things happen. Now it seems like we seem to be battling the DEA again. And that's a very important issue. In order for patients to receive their medicine, I don't get how the feds can deny the law. You know, and it really, really confuses me. Now, I just read today that Texas has a bill that they want to completely outlaw anything to do with medicinal marijuana. There is a bill, HB 673, so for those of you from Texas, please support the bill. The state of Nevada, this is important, this is really good, has a reciprocity statute, so that means that they will accept MMJ card holders from anyone from any state. They can get their medicine there. Let's see, what's next in the news? Okay, so we know that 23 states and D.C. have legalized and regulated. And that Rand Paul and Cory Booker also signed the CARES Act. And it has been signed by the president. It was signed in December. And that prohibits the DOG or the DEA from coming after medical marijuana patients. Now, I read I wrote an extensive article on just that fact on, you know, many different pages. But let's talk about this. Even though the DEA is still going to fight and still going to, you know, imprison patients, the federal government has admitted that marijuana can shrink serious brain tumors. And they just, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, which is a research institution, you know, run by the feds, has grudgingly admitted this, that marijuana is capable of killing certain cancer cells. And there's a publication. It was revised as of April 2015. And it does state that recent animal studies have shown that marijuana can kill certain cancer cells and reduce the size of others. Evidence from one animal study suggests that extracts from the whole plant, marijuana, can shrink one of the most serious types of brain tumors. Now, I happen to know that is a glioblastoma. And I lost a friend many years ago from a glioblastoma. You usually die within 9 months of that kind of brain tumor. Research in mice, and they keep saying in mice, even though we have people out there that are, you know, kids, Tommy Chong, you know, that have shown that they have been cured. Research in mice, though, showed that these extracts, when used with radiation, increased the cancer-killing effects of the radiation. And that could very well be. In any event, this constitutes an admission from the federal government that marijuana has medicinal value. Now, again, you know, I mentioned about the bill that was introduced in early March, and that was by Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, Senator Rand Paul, who will be running for president from Kentucky, Dean Heller, and as well as Senator Kristen Gillibrand and Barbara Boxer. And Kristen Gillibrand is one of our New York senators. The bill proposes moving cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2, which recognizes on the federal level that marijuana has some medicinal value. But we already know that.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, it couldn't be any clearer that marijuana has medical value when even the NIDA and the Surgeon General, who we finally have, are acknowledging that marijuana can help people who are suffering. It is time for the Obama administration to reschedule the drug. I say to deschedule the drug.
Yep.
The Attorney General can initiate that process today. And there's no reason for him not to, especially when polling shows such a huge majority of Americans support medical marijuana. Earlier in February, 37-year-old U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy stated, "We have some preliminary data showing that for certain medical conditions and symptoms, that marijuana can be helpful. I think we have to use that data to drive policymaking." Murthy was confirmed finally as Surgeon General in December 2014 by a 51-43 vote. CARES is continuing to gain bipartisan support in the Senate, although there are some naysayers like GOP Senator John Barrasso thinks the cost of medical marijuana borne on the individual and the community level far outweigh any potential benefits. And that's pretty sad that he thinks that. He is arguing that the approval of medical marijuana use at this time is premature until the research is more conclusive about benefits. Now, we've been going through years and years of benefits. 40 years of studying. We know that in 1974, when Richard Nixon received the report that cannabis can cure cancer, he tore the report up. And, you know, there's just been a whole lot of politics involved. Now, concerning blood pressure, I know you're very interested in that.
Yeah, that's my thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty, I don't think that we have to, like, you know, go through, like, the whole nine yards to understand that, yes, of course, cannabinoids are going to be found to lower blood pressure. Some early studies for high blood pressure found that THC reduced levels of blood pressure, and that tolerance developed to this effect. McCallum predicted in 1978, numerous synthetic cannabinoids are currently being investigated as analgesics and as sedative relaxants. Zog and Kink reported hydroxycetyl and gamma cannabis oil. Let me just put it that way. Derivatives were potent anti-hypertensive agents. Minimum effective doses, what they said, were 3 to 5 milligrams per kilogram orally, of the same order of activity as the highly CNS, central nervous system, active, and propofol derivatives. Now, what happens is, after studying the effects of the cannabinoid receptors in normal and hypertensive people, the study concluded collectively that the results indicate that the predominant cardiovascular effect of some of the cannabinoids can be attributed largely to indirect pentolinium-sensitive mechanisms, which appear to differ little in normal tensive and hypertensive state, at least in conscious people. Under the conditions of the experiments that were being done, there were some signs of cannabinoid-induced vasodilation. And what that means, before I go further, vasodilation means your vessels open up rather than restrict. And they were modest, okay, modest. And that's what we want. We want something modest. One thing I did read in the studies that what's becoming clear is that if you do use cannabis for blood pressure reasons, if you should go off it, the CB receptors will elicit a hypertensive action. Okay, so your blood pressure would go up again. Now, there's been a review article for the Bulletin on Narcotics, and it warned the use of cannabis causes prominent and predictable effects on the heart, including increased workload, increased plasma volume, and postural hypertension, which could impose threats to the cannabis users with hypertension and cerebrovascular disease. But the picture is slowly becoming more clear, because we now know that we do have this endocannabinoid system within our bodies. So that would modify aspects of blood flow to a subtle local level. And that was discovered in 2001 in a review by a Dr. Shiffron. The endothelium produces a variety of substances that play important roles in regulation of the circulation and vascular wall homeostasis. Now, we want to be in a homeostasis, right? Because that homeostasis means just as let me take it to climate change, okay? Because we've disrupted this planet so much, and this is my opinion, you know, we have disrupted homeostasis. Okay, so it hasn't rained in 4 years in California. I don't know why that is, but possibly because of fracking, and you know, there's a whole, you know, the environment out there is a little bit different. We have a lot of climate change going on, you know. So I don't know what to say about that. Of course, weed will take the hit on it not raining for 4 years. But let's get back to inexperienced marijuana smokers. Okay, marijuana smoking was accompanied by a significant bilateral increase in cerebral blood flow. Okay, so that would be especially in the frontal regions and cerebral blood velocity. Long-term cannabis use found decreases in cerebral blood flow during the early stages of detoxification, reverting back to normal. And that's why I mentioned that, you know, there could be an increase in blood pressure were you to just cease the use. The findings show that significantly lower mean for blood flow values and significantly lower frontal values in the cannabis subjects compared to normal controls. Do you know what anandamide is? And we could talk about that another day, but that's a whole part of this. What's going to happen? We're gonna smoke weed. We're gonna be relaxed. We're gonna feel nice, right? So automatically, sure. You know that your blood pressure is gonna come down. It's gonna come down. You know, so I don't know. You know, they're looking at it with, you know, with strokes, with you know, there's so many case studies describing patients who have suffered strokes following or during cannabis use. But most of these cases can be explained by the use of other drugs, alcohol and stimulants. Sure. You know, and stimulants are going to cause strokes. You know, they aren't neuroprotective. Where we see with cannabis is a neuroprotectant, and that's been said over and over again by many different neurodoctors, you know, neurosurgeons, neurologists, especially with treatment with the children, you know, the big push with the children that are epileptic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so again, you know, it more physicians want to see this happen. The one thing that is upsetting is that because of the stigma associated, It presents a powerful discouragement to the doctors, inhumane, because we have these inhumane federal laws, which continue to list Schedule One of the Controlled Substance Act. Okay, now you know, any normal thinking person actually knows that. How do you even compare cannabis with heroin? You don't. You know, that's like apples and trucks.
Yep.
And there's just so many healing compounds, you know. I mean, doctors 100 years ago understood this, you know, and that was the reason why pharmacies always made it available to the public. Iodine and marijuana were principal medicines used in the 19th and very early part of the 20th century. And I think we remember using iodine, you know, on our cuts and bruises. We always had that red streak and Mercurochrome and what have you. I actually do remember my brother, who was probably would have been on Adderall today, being put on a syrup, and another brother of mine, of course, we were nosy, and we had to look at the medication. The medication did have THC in it at that time. We're talking nearly 50 years ago. But the suppression of medical cannabis, this is mass murder. You know, this is the real world. And cannabis prohibition itself assures that tens of millions of people will die sooner and with far greater suffering than would be the case if they had easy access to this plant.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, we have, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Now, interestingly, in some of the other countries, such as Chile, Brazil, Italy, is on their way to legalize marijuana. India, top oncologists in India are lobbying now for legal medical marijuana because they have found the same. They told the Times of India that the idea came about during conversations about tobacco farming and that there are just fewer than 100,000 registered tobacco farmers in India, using like 0.25% of farmland throughout the country. And meanwhile, you know, we do have 23 states that are prescribing, doctors aren't able to prescribe, just recommend, derivatives of cannabis for cancer treatment. So you have some of your top docs all around, you know, talking about this, you know, and we... We see these chairmen of different departments in different countries, and that want to take up research on medicinal benefits of cannabis derivatives, and to not take it up, we need the plants which are not, and they're not available, you know, in India, and they claim to be not. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They claim not to be available in, you know, certain states in our country, but we know they are. So India is going forth and approaching the government with a proposal to legalize the medicinal use of cannabis. Okay, so that's what's new in the medical community in India. Now, we know that cannabis oil is legal in Brazil, and they're not having too much of a problem at all.
No.
What it's doing is it's bringing down anything as far as, you know, the cartels and what have you. Interestingly enough, because cannabinoids and the active components of marijuana inhibit tumor growth in laboratory animals and also kill cancer cells, the use in the case of childhood cancer is compassionate. Okay, so we have all these uses. 12 months after marijuana treatments, one of the children, and his name is Joey, and Joey has gained now over 40 pounds, and he's really happy. But he had a bad cancer, you know, And he was first prescribed to go on to all of the chemotherapy drugs, which was making him really sick. He became malnourished. And it was those famous marijuana brownies that saved his life. And it was the doctors and their pharmaceutical medicines that almost killed him. Bernard Rimland, PhD of the Autism Research Institute, said, "It seems to me if one is to need to use drugs, one ought to consider a relatively safe drug like marijuana because it is safe. We know it's safe." So when we get into the cardiovascular system and tumor growth is being cut in half and blood pressures are being controlled, gastrointestinal inflammation is being controlled, we're talking about something that is so simple to do. So simple. It is more effective even than vitamin C or E. As you know, vitamin C, we don't keep in our bodies. We don't manufacture it, and we don't keep it in our bodies. So that's why it's important to take vitamin C every day. And I do believe a combination of vitamin C and cannabis and E are strong antioxidants. And the cannabis oil would neutralize free radicals. So that's going to limit damage and reduce the severity of blood pressure, of ischemic strokes. Do you know what ischemic strokes are?
No idea.
Okay. Well, you know, with blood pressure problems, you know, what does that do? That does make you very susceptible to strokes. Now, there are different kinds of strokes, you know. And there are some people that get what we call TIAs, where they'll have a stroke for like maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes. And they're called trans ischemic strokes. And that is from blood pressure and that high blood pressure. And that is from, I would tend to say, some of the medications too, because we tend to not look at how medications interfere with each other. You understand what I mean?
Right, yeah. I know that, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, I mean, if the American College of Physicians has urged the government to reverse its ban on medical treatments using marijuana, I mean, they encourage the use of non-smoked forms of THC, you know, because not everybody can smoke and not everybody wants to smell like it, and that's okay. And, you know, there's a Philadelphia-based organization. They're the second largest doctors in group in the United States, cited studies into medical applications such as treating even severe weight loss associated with illnesses such as AIDS. I mean, we use it for my mother. And treating nausea and vomiting associated with chemo for cancer. In combination, you know, with possibly with using medicinal marijuana and treating blood pressure and treating strokes and treating traumatic brain injuries and cancer and of course epilepsy, you know, we could be winners. We could be winners. We need to be winners. We are winners. There's nobody giving us the go ahead, you know, with all these powerful people that are fighting for this. I'm not sure. I'm confused.
I'm confused too. And as I said the other day when I relaunched it, I'm no expert. I'm no expert like you are or other people I've talked to. But when I go down this rabbit hole and I start reading and I start talking to people, it gets scary because of stuff you find out.
Mm-hmm.
How much money is involved in the whole nine yards is a scary, scary, scary thing. But we're not talking about that now. But I do want to thank you for coming on the show and giving us that brief update. I hope to have you back again on a regular basis. Now, how can people get a hold of you if they want to continue this conversation or learn more from about it?
They can find me on LinkedIn. They can find me on Facebook. They can email me. And my email is Sasha Rose, which is one word, 31 at Gmail.
Very good.
I am, and I'm a member of the American Cannabis Nurses Association, and I'm also a lead advisor for alternative herbals, and they can contact me through there. We have a lot of really good people on alternative herbals, and I hope to make you a part of that. I haven't talked to you about that yet.
I'm your man.
But, you know, we have Dr. Melamed. He's one of the mavens, you know. So there are many avenues to find us. But alternativeherbals.net is one way.
Okay.
And you'll be able to find me or anyone you want to talk to on there.
I mean, I think it's great that you're in the show, and I have to say the power of coming together and talking is
mm-hmm.
the first step. And it's hugely mm-hmm. powerful because I can tell you, Wisconsin, we've done a limited amount with cannabis medically. And we already have people in our state legislature talking about what we need to do to be like in Kentucky and start growing it again, because they don't see a problem with industrial use of hemp. And many of them don't see a problem with medical marijuana at all. But as they've told me, we have to take it slow because there's a lot of misinformation out there and they get slammed by it.
Yeah, we've got to take it slow. How much slower are we going to go? We're going. We're crawling backwards. I don't know. You know.
I'm sorry to interrupt. The guy I know personally. He's a good guy. He says if he goes down the street and he just talks to him about industrial hemp, he'll get back in his office in 15 minutes talking about how industrial hemp for rope or for cloth, right, will lead to some kid dying of heroin. It's like makes him pull his hair out because of so much misinformation out there, he could spend years fighting it.
That is the answer. The answer is that we keep educating and we keep educating and we keep educating. And that's the only way it's going to go. I think I'm excited about the next presidential election. That's going
to
be coming up. I hope you do too.
I hope you run. Well, no, I'd be Paul Ryan. No, I'll never make it to president. Trust me when I say that. But I hope it's Paul Ryan for different reasons. But, again, we've got to get organized. We have to talk. We have to support
mm-hmm.
the people. It's easy. You and I do what we talk, we walk the walk, right? But what so many people are good at saying one thing and doing another. Because we have to go to these meetings. We have to make damn sure that we vote for the people who vote our way. But
Yes, we do. You know, we have people like, Casper Leach, who's phenomenal. You know, from High Times, and he's out there. And Timothy Tipton, and the president-elect from American Cannabis Nurses Association, and Women That Grow, and there's so many evolutions happening, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, we have...
Little English lady, my bane, has told me I have to leave or she's going to kill me. She's very vicious. She's a very, very mean English lady. But I do thank you again for being on the show, ma'am. And with that, we'll make arrangements to have you back on when we can conveniently do that.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. That's it, ladies and gentlemen in the audience. So, a little English lady has spoken, and I'm going to be shy, I think. My email to talk to me is wclingman@wi.r.com. That's all the time that we have. Thank you for listening. Keep up the good work. Bye.